We just, Lord, like your word says, may you receive honor and glory in your church. And we recognize, Lord, that your church doesn't have four walls. It has a soul and a heart and a mind. That's us, Lord. And we pray that you'd receive all the glory and the honor, even to greater degrees today in our life, that you would use today in our life the things that we're going to look at in the dynamic of your word to bring us to places you want to take us, to make challenges and changes within us, Lord, to bring encouragement to us right where we're at, that you bring comfort and refreshment to each one of our souls. We want to thank you for your living word, and we want to have a heart to receive from it today, Lord. Make us teachable. Lord, give us faith. May these things that have been written in your word be those things that would be planted deep within our heart, Lord. We want to see you work in a great way. We want to see us being the kind of believers and the kind of church that you deserve to have for all that you've done for us. And we just ask that you bring the blessing of your presence, just like we sang about, Lord, into this congregation strong as we look at your word, Lord, that we would reverence, that we wouldn't receive it as the word of man, but as it truly is your word, Lord. Come forth from your heart to our planet, into our laps, that it might find itself deep in our hearts, Lord. Write your truth on our heart, plant it deep within, Lord, that the enemy wouldn't be able to steal its truths, and it might be able to have its way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're in Acts 2, like I said, if you want to turn there. You know, when you study the Bible and you go through it and God introduces himself in ways that actually describes different characteristics and attributes and personality facts of who he is. And one of the ones I've always really enjoyed, I think, because it's got so much depth in the story that you find in Genesis 22, is where he introduces himself as Jehovah Jireh. And that means the Lord is our provider. Okay, so God wants to provide for us. And if we were here today, I'm sure some of us can think about the different ways that God has provided for us. You know, maybe he's provided for us financially. All of a sudden you get that raise you didn't know coming, or some kind of a check, or somebody blesses you and you never saw it out of anywhere and it just met a need. But behind all the scenes was the power of God showing himself in who he is, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Maybe he's provided healing in your life. Maybe it's been dynamic. Maybe it's been through the oil, anointing of oil, and through faith. Maybe it's just been through wonderful doctor cares, whatever it might be. But you've seen his provision and him providing his blessing in your life. And a lot of times we look at these provisions and we think of them on the outward, the outward blessings of God's provision in our lives. But there's also another aspect of his provision, and that's called the spiritual provision, because we're a people that have great spiritual need. And I know as a guy, the last thing I like to do is ask for help. I like to try to do things myself because I don't want to bug people. Because I'm busy and I don't want to be bugged and I don't want to bug people. That was a joke. I'll help you if you need it. Maybe, if I'm not busy. No. But I remember even setting, you know, when I was building my coop at home, you know, I had these 24-foot long, 12-inch wide TGI's wooden eye joists, you know, and my parents could pull up and drive. What are you doing? I already had six of them set by myself, you know. And I just, you know, it's one thing, you know, you don't want to ask for help. That's just the way we are as guys, unless you absolutely have to. But I think what we're going to see in Acts chapter 2, and one of the things that God needs to get into our hearts, is that we are a people that have spiritual need, and we can't meet that need ourselves. We need help. Our helper is the Holy Spirit. And that's what we see in Acts chapter 2. And I think that for us as a church, men and women, I think we need to get to the point where we're really living dependent upon him, because probably very few of us in this room, if any of us, are tapping into the fullness of who he is and the fullness of what he has to offer. And in Acts chapter 2, we're going to see that things change. There's a great transformation in people's lives because of this dynamic promise that God had provided for the life of the believer. Okay, this is a continual ongoing promise. This is, even at the end of the chapter, we're going to see that this is a promise of God's provision supernaturally. Jehovah Jireh providing for us what? Exactly what we need to go through this life and live as impacting Christians walking in victory throughout this life. God hasn't called us to be those who would settle for depression and defeat and all these things. He's given us his Holy Spirit that he could do something dynamic within each one of our lives. And those are the things that we need to consider. Sometimes for us as believers, the Bible says to lay away every sin and weight that so easily besets us from running a race. What that means is, look, if I'm going to run a race, I don't want anything hindering me. And our Christian life is likened unto a race. And we're to lay aside sins and weight. And I believe so many people are trying to honor God with their lives and are dealing with their personal sins, right? Lord, this doesn't honor you. This is getting in the way of our relationship. We're cutting those sins off. But I believe sometimes we can deal with the sin issues of our life because we want to be real with God. We want to have fellowship with Jesus. We want to walk in the light. But we've got weights we drag around. And I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest weights that the church is dragging around today is just walking in a natural man. Trying to be a spiritual, impacting believer, but walking in the strength of our natural being. And God says, I've got better for you. I offer the supernatural. This is what he's going to give the church here. This is what was needed to get the church going at the finish line of the church age. And this is exactly what's needed for us to cross the finish line at the end of the church age, where we currently stand. So as we look at these things and we consider these things, I want to ask you today, think about yourself as we enter into Acts 2, because this is living and active. It's real. God holds himself accountable to what he's written. These are examples given to us. This is provision for us. But I want to think about your Christian life right now. Are you worn out and weary? Are you lifeless? Do you feel hopeless? Are you controlled by circumstances, emotions, maybe opinions? Do you feel like you're in a rut? Are you spinning your wheels in the mud? Is that who you are today? Are you settling for a life of defeat, continual discouragement, weakness, failure, bondage? Is that what we're settling for? Because if that's you, I want to give you hope today. God's got something better. God doesn't leave his kids in those states. God's got different places he wants to take them, but we got to be willing to allow him to take us to those places. The Bible tells us this, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. And these are so many of the things that God wants to free us from. And he wants to do it through the ministry of his Holy Spirit, operating within his church. It's about keeping our hearts open to the working of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you what, this is the day, other than the day Jesus said it was finished 3 days later when he rose again, this is the day I believe that the devil shook. And I believe that it's this whole theology on the person of the Holy Spirit that Satan has had a heyday with today, and he's wreaked havoc within the church. You got sides of the church that don't believe in the ministry of the baptism and all the gifts of the Spirit and all that. Then you got the other side, and they've taken them out of control. They've made them emotionalism and misrepresented God with them, and it operates outside of the guidelines of the Bible. But I'm telling you what right now, that's why I said it in the beginning. If you can study the Bible, and what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, what God says about his Spirit, what his Spirit can do. I'm telling you, people, we could be a transformed people like the early church here in Acts chapter 2, and God can do such a dynamic as we operate in faith, believing that this power is available today to us and tapping into it, being real with God. So we're going to start in Acts chapter 2. He says this, and when the day of Pentecost, which was the Feast of Weeks or Harvest, where they would offer God the beginning of their crops, their best crops. They offer to God first. It's just a great principle of giving God our best. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, look at, they were all with one accord in one place. So what do we see here? Who's the all? Okay, we look at the all, but who are the all? Because these are the people that the blessing of God's going to fall upon. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed by God. I'm telling you what, we're going to see right here. You know, we can read through that, but they all were there. Okay, they were all there. There's a group of people, they're all there. I want you to see a common denominator in these people's lives. They were obedient responders to the words of Jesus Christ. Obedient responders to the word of Jesus Christ. Remember, wait here until you've been endued with power from on high. So what were they doing? They were sitting in this waiting game. And nobody likes to wait. I don't like to wait. We've talked about this in the other chapter, but they were sitting there, and they were underneath the authority of the words of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is where they didn't reason it out, think it out, and share their opinions with one another. You know what they said? Well, you know what? The Lord said this, so I better do it. They were obedient to what he had asked of their life. And guess what? They're going to receive a blessing like no other people have because of their willingness to be obedient to what Jesus said. He told them to wait, and they were waiting. So we see here, and this is what I love about it here, that you know, you're going to see the fruit of biblical authority, right? They're doing exactly what Jesus said. They did what he said, and they're right where Jesus told them to be. And you know what the fruit of biblical authority is? Obedience and unity. You get people who are walking underneath the authority of God's word, walking in obedience, you know, not just speaking it out of their mouth, but actually living it with their lives. You know what you've got? You've got a unity there of people that have the potential for divine power to work through them as a group and to transform the area in which they live. That's what we see here. That's what God's looking for us. What does that mean? That means you don't have to agree with me and I don't have to agree with you, but we need to agree with him. And when his authority, what he says goes in your life, in my life, and in our life, and we're in the place where he's called us to be, walking in the truth of what he's asked us to walk in, we have the potential for God to do something in our lives that can be dynamic and impacting in a world in which we live for the short vapor while we're here. That's what we see here. This is what the challenge is. It all starts out right in the beginning. We can't even get into Pentecost till we see the climate of the heart of God's people. You said it. That's what goes in my life, Lord. You told me to wait on you. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be obedient. So aren't these people? We've got a unity because what you says go. You're master. We're servant. We've got different personalities. It has the potential. There's a different dynamic involved. Is our personalities clash and cling with one another? But nevertheless, we want to keep our hearts in harmony with you. And thus, that's a group of people that God can work in. That's the kind of people that God deserves us to be. That's what God deserves from Opaz Chapel. You know what it takes? It takes humility. We got to get rid of pride. We need to get rid of spiritual pride. We've got to be a humble people that are devoted to him, that keep our hearts camped close to the cross, that we remember that that wooden cross was shed with blood so that we could be forgiven of our sins, and to remember that we've been bought with a price. We no longer belong to ourselves. We belong unto him. So I put myself in a subservient position of being his servant, and now he's the master. And that's biblical Christianity. That's discipleship. I take up my cross, I deny myself, and I follow him. That's exactly what we see these people doing. And the blessing of God's going to flow into each one of their lives. Look what happens here. It says, all of a sudden, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it, the wind, filled the house where they were sitting. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just... You know, this wind comes and it just takes over the whole house and it becomes this mighty rushing wind. And this is the thing. This is what I love about the move of the Holy Spirit, because hopefully everybody in here wants the dynamic of God's Spirit. We want the baptism. We want the fullness. We want the fullness of everything that God wants to offer us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Hopefully that's what we want. But you can't formalize him. It's not like we can all get together, sit around and listen for wind. You know, God doesn't hold himself to making that happen. When the Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism, the Spirit descended like a dove. We're going to see another account as we go through the book of Acts. They just lay hands on these guys. They received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell on them and doesn't say anything happened. We're going to see another time the Holy Spirit fell on them. The power came upon them and the whole house shook. You know what I mean? So you can't formalize God. The only thing you can do is look and see what he says. How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? What do? We ask for him. We ask for his fullness. We ask for the power. It's actually the Holy Spirit is God himself in the form of the Holy Spirit who wants to ignite us with power so that we can impact the world in which we live for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the kingdom of God would expand. That's what it is. So as you look at this, all of a sudden there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Okay, so here's the dynamic, right? It was audible first, then it was visible, so it would be undeniable. Okay, audible, visible, undeniable. And here's the thing. If you will, go to John 3 with me real quick, because we're going to look at this. You know, he says like a wind. This is what Jesus taught a religious leader who only knew religion and didn't know Jesus. John chapter 3. I bought my son a drone for Christmas so I can spy on all you in your personal lives. No, I bought him a drone. And, you know, how about those parents, you know, they buy you Christmas gifts in the middle of December that you can't use until the snow melts for like 4 months. I'm one of those parents, you know. It's like getting a bike, you know, on Christmas morning, or getting a pool or one of them outdoor pools or whatever, you know. It's like, thanks, but it's kind of useless right now. So I got him this drone anyhow. And he's like, Dad, you know, you're not supposed to fly it in the wind. You're not supposed to fly it when it's below 32 degrees. You know, and I'm like, Dad, can we fly it today? Can we fly it today? And I said, well, you know, let's look outside, you know. And it was a warm day, you know. It was a pretty warm day. But you looked out back, and I looked back at my trees, my neighbor's trees and everything, and I could see the top of the trees just going. Like, buddy, man, it ain't going to happen. You're going to get that thing up 20 feet, man. It's going to be a kamikaze mission. That thing's going to go down. It's going to be at a million pieces. I just threw my money out the window. Okay, Dad. But I said all this to say this. This is what Jesus said. Oh, he had a religious leader come to him. In verse 3, Jesus answered him, and he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That right there was the verse that transformed my life. That's what made me a follower of Jesus Christ when I became 24 years old. It was so impacting because I knew this about me, okay? The life I was living and the things I was doing, this is what I knew about me, is that I knew I wasn't going to go on forever. And I wanted to make sure someday when I leave here that heaven is going to be my home, because I knew there was another place to go. And in spite of other people's theories about hell, I know I certainly didn't want to go there. So this is a verse that someone was faithful enough to share with me that actually transformed my life and sought following Jesus and being born again. Now Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So he's looking at this in a physical sense. You know, how are you born again? You know, I was mere once. What am I supposed to do? Go through the birthing process again? But Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and the spirit. So now he's talking about a spiritual birth. That's what he's talking about here. A birth of the Holy Spirit in a life. And he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Okay, we're all here physically, right? Our fleshly parents gave us fleshly birth, our moms actually. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. This is what he says. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest not the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Jesus is teaching, listen, you can't see the wind. All right? Just like looking at the drone the other day. I'm inside my house, and I want to see if it's windy out. So I don't look outside the window to actually see wind. I look out the windows to see the effects of wind. It was the effects of wind that actually had the trees blown all around, so I knew he couldn't fly that thing. And that's what's happening here. We're seeing the effects now of the Holy Spirit showing up in a full way upon these believers. Go back to Acts with me, because I think there's something very important that we need to consider here. What happened here, as it says, appeared unto them, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. Obviously, tongues are used for what? To speech, to communicate, whatever it might be. We're going to see that in this. The tongues are used to communicate. But you see, we have a divine order here, right? And this is the divine order that we see here, is that there's the visual is always going to get the attention for the audible, okay? The visual's always going to get the attention for the audible. There was an effect first before the tongues could be used, okay? What does that mean? That means as Christians, there should be something different about our witness, the kind of people that we are, the way we behave, the way that we react, the way that we conduct ourselves, because we're underneath the influence of the Holy Spirit in our life, okay? It's that effect, that visual effect, just like the wind of the Holy Spirit having control of a life. It's about when somebody sees you loving unconditionally, forgiving people, being merciful, being graceful, but being truthful. All those things, what it's going to do, it's going to get attention. What's it going to give it attention? It's good. The visual is going to give attention so that the audible can follow it up. And that's what we're going to see here. You see divine order in place here. What that means, basically, I heard it said before, people are not going to know care what we know until they know that we care. There should be something different about the believer. There should be something radically different about the believer. The Spirit comes and fills it. I'm telling you something. When you've got a Spirit-filled believer, when you've got a Spirit-filled church, I think there's two things that are operating in harmony with one another. And one is the love of God, and the other one is the truth of God. And those things need to be operating within order with one another. Because you can't just have one without the other. We've been called to walk in love, but we've also been called to walk in the light. Sometimes people want to talk about love without light, which is love without truth, and that can lead to a life of hypocrisy. Some people want to talk about truth, and they want to leave the love out of it, and that can lead actually to religious brutality. But those two things need to operate in harmony with one another, and that's a Spirit-filled life. When you got people who are walking in the truth of God's word and walking in the love of Jesus Christ, that's a place where the Holy Spirit can work in a dynamic way. So as we look here back in Acts chapter 2, it says verse 4 says, they were all filled, okay? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, okay? So now we've got this image of this clothed in tongue. If you will, I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 23 with me for a moment. Picture of these tongues on fire. Be a radical thing to see. Jeremiah 23. Now, we're living in a day where Jeremiah has been anointed to be a prophet to Israel. God says this, look, I'm going to put my words in your mouth, you're going to speak for me, and no one's going to listen. Sounds like the vastness of American Christianity today. Don't give me what I need to hear, give me what I want to hear. But God says, you know, Jeremiah, Jeremiah got discouraged at one point, and he said, you know what, I'm not saying anything anymore. You know, nobody's listening. All I'm doing is getting persecuted for God's truth, and all these false prophets and false dreamers are speaking a message exactly against the truth that I'm bringing to the people from God, and everybody wants to side with them because their message is more palatable and it feels better to their ears than the truth that I'm trying to give them. He goes, I'm not going to say anything anymore, but he said God's word was like a fire in him, and he couldn't hold it back anymore. He had to keep speaking for God. So on the heels of this, remember, false teachers, false dreamers, bringing false messages, tattooing God's name to it, words that he didn't speak. And this is what God tells Jeremiah in Jeremiah 23, verse 28. And the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. I'll tell you what, as Christians, especially living in the days we're in, where people don't want to hear God's truth, they want their ears tickled. Just make me feel better about myself. Make me feel real good. You know, make me all this. And there's no dynamic change because the focus of their life isn't Jesus Christ. It's themselves. We've got to make sure that we heed God's counsel, just like he spoke to Jeremiah, that we would speak his word faithfully, that we'd be faithful to the word of God. This church has been established on the word of God. And that's the way we want to finish our course, no matter what God decides to do with us as a church. He says, what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? But this is what he says here. Remember, tongues on fire, we see here. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? John said that Jesus would baptize his followers with fire, you know? And I believe that when we allow the Holy Spirit to have his fullness with our heart, with our lives, I believe that he wants to anoint within our lives the very words that we speak. But I believe that it's him who has to ignite these things. I think it's very important that we continually seek to be filled with the Spirit, really embrace him and open up our hearts to him in such a way that our words would have impact. He says God's words like a fire. You know the awesome thing about fire? It consumes. Think about it right now. Think about what your life was like before you met Jesus, the things you were doing. Don't flash back too far. It could be ugly. But think about what his word has done with that now. It's consumed those things. That's the awesome thing of what fire does. It also purifies. The Bible talks about a refiner's fire where there would be a fire that would be heated up so much that it would actually melt silver or it would melt gold to such a degree that all the impurities would come to the top. Those impurities could be actually scooped out of the way by the refiner, that material would be more pure until the reflection of the refiner could be seen like a mirror in that. That's what Jesus does with our life. That's what he does. He allows the fire to burn sometimes. The Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. What does that mean? That means he wants to burn away the things in our life that are dishonoring to him and harmful to us. That's what God wants to do in his goodness and in his love. And that's why it's so important for us as a people. We just don't say, hey, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm just going to go to church. Listen to see what he has to say today. But that we would actually take this as God's word and that we would allow it to have his way with our hearts and to accomplish his will, because God only has our best interest at hand. No matter how much it hurts to hear truth, we need to receive truth and allow truth to have its way with us. Sometimes it's in a corrective form. Sometimes it's in a comforting form. It doesn't matter, as long as God's communicating us right where we're at with our lives so that he can do the work that he wants to do to make us more like him. That's what matters. So he says here, he says, my word is like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. Look at this is what my hope is for the future. My hope for the future, like I said, even maybe this upcoming year, that God would bring such a dynamic into the ministry, into my own life, into your lives, that the word would just consume, that it would eat away, that it would actually take care of issues, and that it would come in such power that it would get sin dealt with within our lives, that it would get game players and wolves out of our church, and that we would actually just allow him to have his way with us, that the other aspect of fire, when you're a sincere person, is that it actually brings so much comfort. I heat my house with a coal stove. I love that coal stove. I love to get it hot in there, very hot. It's a place where my wife doesn't like it that hot. We got windows open in January. Love it. This fire brings comfort. That's what it does, and that's what God's word wants to do. Look, I'm going to burn away everything that's harmful to you and dishonoring to me, and on the other end of that, I'm going to use that same fire to bring comfort to you over what I'm going to do in your lives and how blessed I am and how much I love you. So go ahead and turn back to Acts 2. I want you to think about this, how now God's going to use these instruments to communicate. Death and life are found in the power of the tongue, the Bible tells us. And how now that life is going to be communicated in such a way that cities are going to be transformed. People are going to walk away from the occultic practices, witchcraft, drunkenness, perversion. They're going to give their lives to God. As we go through the book of Acts, we're going to see the dynamic, because all of a sudden these individuals who are cowering individuals, they all forsook Jesus when they came to get him at the garden. Now we're going to see that God's going to anoint their words, anoint their tongues, and the truth that they communicate to people now is going to change them forever into eternity. That's the awesome thing. You see, that's what God wants to do within our lives by the Spirit. He wants to put weight and anointing in the truths that we speak for his name's sake. Think about it right now. When Jesus was resurrected, he walked with these two on the Emmaus Road, and after he gave them a short little Bible study, this is what they said. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scripture? It literally means here that they were greatly moved in heart, and the source of what moved their heart was the scriptures. Why? Because of the anointing of God. That was God himself, the anointing of God. And I think sometimes we get frustrated because we don't see the effects and we don't see the fruit. Nevertheless, Noah didn't either, but we got to keep being faithful. But I think God wants to do a greater dynamic within our lives. I think God wants to get us to a place where he can use us to a greater degree. We might be saying the same things, but now there's something deeper about them. There's something more impacting because they're lit by the Spirit. And they're going to go deeper into the heart. And there's going to be a more anointing and more impact and more fruit. But it's got to be the Spirit. You see, it's so important for us. I don't know what you've been taught. Some of you have come from Pentecostal realm. Some of you from more or Orthodox or whatever, but I'm telling you what, right now we need him so bad. We need the Holy Spirit so bad if we're going to have a life of impact and fruitfulness while we're here. Look, I'm not content with settling in where we're at. Great. Got a school with 145 kids, got a congregation of 250, whatever it is. We don't do numbers here. It doesn't matter. But what matters is that we're still here, and because we're still here as a church, we have a purpose. And our purpose is to be the most effectful we can be for the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be godly people who set forth a visual witness first, that it might roll out the carpet for the audible witness, for us to declare the scriptures. When we do it under the empowering of the Holy Spirit, it's going to make an impact like those on the Emmaus Road. It's going to move people's hearts. I had people share the gospel with me before I knew Jesus Christ. It moved my heart. It shook my heart because they were operating under another power. That's the power the church needs to be operating under today. Please, 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 I'm begging you. And pray for me, I'll pray for you. Let's not fall asleep. Let's not get comfortable. Let's not get lazy. This world's crazy. It's in chaos, man, and it needs the truth of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he's actually put, you know, his treasure in earthen vessels, in actually who we are. That's where God's deposited the treasure of truth. His truth that this lost world needs, he's placed it within the lives of Christians, and we've got to be faithful with it. It's a power that we have the ability to do. Look, we can come to a place of recognizing our own inadequacies. That's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. When you get to a point, like in areas of my life, I had to say, God, I can't do it. I need you to do it. And then all of a sudden, boom, he does it. And guess who gets the glory? Not me. That was him. His power operating in our lives. So it's got to be, Lord, by your Spirit, fill me with the power to be Christ-like today. Lord, by your Spirit, fill me with your power to forgive today. Lord, by your Spirit, stamp eternity on my eyeballs today. By your Spirit, open up doors and give me the boldness to share the gospel of Jesus Christ today. You see, that's not just the pastor's mission. That's the mission of the church. That's the mission of disciples. That's all our calls. We need to start praying. We need to get within our lives a place where God's got soul hold of us, that we can have a Timothy in our life, somebody that we're discipling, somebody that we're just bringing up into faith, somebody that we can have impact over. So they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit had given them their understanding. Here's the bottom line. We're going to take communion today, so I'm going to close up with a couple last dots. We got the picture here of when divine power and human potential meet, there's kingdom impact. Divine power, human potential. When they meet, there's divine impact. There's great impact. There's impact in this world. That's why we're here. We're here to impact people and to live for the glory of God. Think about where you're at today. Take a personal assessment of your life. Maybe you need to make Christ your Lord and Savior. Maybe you already have. Making Christ our Lord and Savior isn't the finish line, it's the starting line. And the Holy Spirit now is the fuel to go in us at the starting line that we could go forward and make a difference in this race. So when we look at the Bible, and when we look at what's written therein, and we look at our lives today, we've got to put these things on the fulcrum and see which way they swing. The Bible tells us that we're more than conquerors. The Bible tells us that Christ we can triumph valiantly. These are the things that we can do. That we're, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. These are the things. Now you got to ask yourself today, are you living a life of defeat? Are you being conquered? Is triumph the farthest thing from your life? Do you live in defeat? Do you live in discouragement? Do you live in bondage? Because I'm not here to discourage you at all. I'm here to give you hope. God's got something greater for you. I don't know, it could all happen today in a moment. It could happen this year. If you'll just take the time to truly seek out the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit in your life, and to give your all to him, to open up your heart totally to him. He needs to be more than just doctrine. He needs to be so much more than theology. He needs to be something that's someone that's experienced. He needs to be reality in our lives. Because when that takes place, guess what you got coming your way? You got victory coming. You got freedom coming. Chains are being broke. Walls are coming down. Those are the things that happen when the Holy Spirit moves. Those are the things that happens for us. You think God loved these people more than he loves us? He loves us of equality. He wants to give us the same thing he offered to them so that we might be able to experience the same thing, the same power operating in our lives, and to have the same impact on a dark world that's out there today where Satan's got people blind in unbelief. Something to get excited about, I think. We're going to take communion today. We're going to remember what Jesus has done for us. And the way we take communion is we just pass it out as the worship team plays. You have your own personal time with the Lord. Communion is a time when we really reflect and we get refreshed by the love of God. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means when we were undeserving, living a life of blasphemy, living a life of maybe even mockery towards Christianity, Christians, and Christ himself, that God in his mercy still sent his son so that we could experience his forgiveness, so that we could taste of his love, and so that we would have the security of heaven forever. I don't know about you, man. I got a great deal in Jesus. I don't know if he got the best deal when he got me, but I'm thankful that he loves me anyhow. So as we think about this, I want you to think about that as we take communion. You know, the cup is symbolic of his blood that was shed for us. If there was no shedding of blood, there'd be no forgiveness of sins, and his body that was broken. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he'd supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come." Right? His death. 2,000 years ago, his coming, hopefully 2017. But nevertheless, for the believer, living within a realm like I've shared before, looking back at appreciation, looking forward at expectation and anticipation, right? And in the middle, what does that produce? Hopefully gratefulness that shows itself in devotion. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and the body of the Lord. But let him examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." What does that mean? That means this is a time to get serious. This is a sacred event. Nothing supernatural takes place. It's a time of remembrance. We reflect and we remember. What that means by looking at that is hopefully you're here today with a sincere heart. If you don't have a sincere heart, you're playing games with God, then I wouldn't take it. But if you're here with a sincere heart, man, and you're listening to what God's trying to speak into your lives and you just want to live in appreciation, this is a time just to get refreshed. What a great way to go into 2017, being able to take communion as the family. Aren't we blessed? I watch you guys walking in the morning. I'm like hoping you don't fall on that ice out there. Chad's done a good job with a lot. Job, Chad. But I watch you walk in and I'm like, "Lord, I just feel so blessed to be a part of this family. I'm thankful for the people he brings out every Sunday. I'm thankful for the new people that have been coming. It's just been a glorious thing to watch the Spirit of God working in people's lives. We're a blessed people. But the reason that we're here together is because of this right here. It's because of what he did. And I just want to encourage you, as I pray for you, you pray for me, that honestly that we'd be a group of people that would live with Jesus' words as the authority of our lives, knowing that he knows best and we don't. And because of that authority that we do what he asks, okay, that shows itself in obedience. And the fruit of that is there's going to be a unity here amongst the brethren. And I believe when God sees a unity amongst his people because of a love for his son, that's the potential of the divine blessing of the Spirit to fall. And man, don't you want that? I want that. The world that we live in needs it. Needs people who are on fire for the gospel, who are ablaze with the Holy Spirit. That's what the world needs. So Father, we come before you this morning and we're humbled by your love, Lord, especially when we take communion. We reflect on and actually, you know, first being your heart, that you are willing to send your most prized possession, your precious son. Many of us here are parents, and it's one thing to lay down our lives for someone, but to lay down the life of our child for someone. Oh boy, Lord, what a depth of love that you've demonstrated towards us. And today we want to say thank you for that. We're thankful, Lord, that you haven't called us to a bunch of rituals and routines and religion. But you've called us, Lord, to have a relationship with you, to really experience you. And I pray, even this upcoming year, Lord, that this would be a year that we've experienced you like we never had. Paul said that he wanted to know you, Lord, to really experience you. And I pray that for us. Lord, I just like to set an Ebenezer stone up this morning, Lord. And I just like to ask, Lord, that this upcoming year, be a great time, Lord. Today's January 1st and our timeline in human history, that this would be a year where your people got so serious about figuring out more and more what you want and how you want to do through our lives through the power of your Spirit. Lord, I pray because we're a distracted people. We're an overstimulated people. We get our eyes sometimes on things that don't matter at the cost of neglecting the things that do. We ask for your forgiveness for those things. And we just pray, Father, that you would be paramount in our lives, that you would have our all in all, Lord. Father, that you just be able to fill us up because we're seeking to be empty of ourselves. No longer live in self-focused, selfish, Lord, being self-ruled, but being emptied out so we can receive the fullness of who we are. We take communion today, Lord, and we're thankful, so thankful, Lord, that you are willing to come, be born of a virgin, to live 30-some years, to have a ministry for 3 years that would show us exactly the heart of who you are, and to know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, sending back up to heaven and promising to return again, commission us to go into the world and make disciples, but not until we receive the promise and the power from heaven. I pray for each person in here, Lord, that we would just receive the fullness of all that you want to give us today and all that you want to give us this year, Lord. Even as we take communion today and we reflect on your sacrifice, I just pray, Father, that there be an overwhelming experience of gratitude in our hearts, Lord, that you would break us of any pride, self-will, anything, Lord, that's driving a wedge between us and you, Lord, that it be gone today. Any vices we're holding on to, any idols that we've erected. Lord Jesus, that you'd come in a strong way. We sang about your presence, Lord, and I pray that your presence would come and that you'd minister to each one of us, Lord, as we remember, as we think about all that you've done. Thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, we do this in remembrance of you, what you did at the cross, until you come for us, Lord, at your second coming, at the rapture of the church. We're thankful, but we ask that you make us more thankful as the days go on, Lord. Give us a greater understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord richly bless and prosper this upcoming year in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. May it be a year of tasting and seeing how good the Lord is. May it be a year of experience and fellowship with Jesus in the intimacy of your own personal walk with him like you never have before. May it be a year where the Holy Spirit has a greater hold of us than he's ever had before. May the Lord bless you. If you need prayer, if you want prayer about the Holy Spirit, if you want prayer to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, know you're forgiven and heaven's your home, come on up. Have a great day in him.